Welcome to the podcast. I'm Hannah.
And I'm Katie. And this is
One Kiss Means Forever.
This is the podcast where we talk about all the things that give us the beautiful, warm fuzzies, and then all the things that kind of go, wait, maybe I deserve better? We're talking about your favorite made-for-TV romances, the kinds that you find on Hallmark, Lifetime, Netflix, because we decide Netflix is made for TV.
It is.
It's made for our TV.
And today, in honor of it being April 25th,
the perfect date.
Perfect date. We are going to talk about a Netflix movie that dropped April 12th, 2019, called The Perfect Date. And yes, we understand that this is talking about The Perfect Date as in human, as in the question that Miss
Rhode Island.
Rhode Island was actually asked about. But she went to the date, yep. And it's why we love her.
April 25th, and it's not too hot, not too cold. All you need is a light jacket.
But anyway, here's the little blurb on The Perfect Date. To save up for college, Brooks Radigan creates an app where anyone can pay him to play the perfect stand-in boyfriend for any occasion. And it stars Noah Centineo, I think is how you say it.
That's how I was going to say it, yeah.
And Laura Moreno.
Or Morano, as we said in a previous episode. All right, let's get into our Netflix log line of a synopsis. Just kidding. Let's get into our Netflix synopsis for all of this that we wrote, that Hannah wrote, because she's amazing. It seems like Brooks Radigan, played by Noah Centineo, has a pretty standard overachieving high school life. He works hard, gets good grades, and does everything to make him appear great on college applications, especially one for Yale. He is sort of like Rory Gilmore for Harvard until she realized that Yale was better, but Yale is his dream. Or for Princeton? Yeah, from Never Have I Ever.
Oh, that wasn't where I was going. I was going to go Gossip Girl.
Well, it's Blair.
Blair. Yes. Blair. Because okay. I never watched the show, but at least in the book, she names her baby sister Yale because she's so obsessed with Yale.
All right. So, yes, Brooks is like Blair for Yale. But Brooks has a single dad on minimal salary. And so even if he got into Yale, paying for it would be very hard. The other thing he is struggling with is what to write his college essay about, as he doesn't really know who he is or who he wants to become because he is a teenager.
Yeah. Surprise.
Yeah.
One afternoon, while working at his after-school job at the sandwich shop with his best friend, Murph, Brooks hears a classmate complain about having to take his weird cousin to a dance rather than hang out with his girlfriend, even if there's financial compensation. So Brooks jumps in and offers to take the cousin in his place as long as he gets to have the money. So Brooks dresses up and goes to pick up Celia Lieberman, played by Laura Moreno, from her home in Greenwich, Connecticut, aka Rich People, Connecticut.
Celia is not the daughter that her rich parents envisioned and is rebelling against them. Fine, she'll agree to go to a school dance if they pay someone to take her. God forbid she go alone. My God. What is this? Anyway.
2019?
But she says, yes, you can get someone to take me, but I will not be wearing heels. Okay, whatever. Fine. And also, once they leave the house, she is really good with being dropped off at a local cafe for a few hours so she can fool her parents. But Brooks insists that they go to the dance. And while they have some fun for a little while, Brooks ruins it all by noticing a super hot girl, Shelby, a.k.a. Veronica.
Yes. From Riverdale. On the way home, Celia says that Brooks should just sell his dating services for real, and she says it as an insult. But Brooks hears those dollar bills and enlists Murph to help him create an app that lets women basically order him and get the exact personality that they are looking for. And it starts to pick up fast. Like, it goes viral, sort of. I mean, it can't be like real viral, like Connecticut viral. I don't know. and so he's going to art openings and rodeos and costume parties and formals. He helps a girl practice dating, and another woman beat her friends at tennis. And when Celia needs someone to help her go to a party to meet her crush, she calls up Brooks, who agrees.
While Celia is a bit dismayed by the fact that Brooks actually took her idea seriously, she's cool with him playing her fake boyfriend to help her meet Franklin. With a party hosted by Shelby, they get to spend some time with their respective crushes, but also end up hanging out together and eating ice cream. When Celia learns that Brooks wants to go to Yale, she decides to help him out and get him an interview because her dad, of course, Greenwich being Greenwich, knows the right people.
While Brooks is being the perfect date to everyone and everything, he is ignoring Murph. He agrees to meet up with Murph on the weekend for dinner and an escape room. But first, he goes to the interview that Celia set up. It goes great, but mostly because Brooks lies to the Yale president about his own hobbies and tries to get in good by playing on what the president likes. So he pretends he is really into beekeeping, which the president is really into, and Brooks knows. Brooks has done research. So Celia is furious that he won't be himself, but he calls her on pretending to like vinyl because Franklin does, and it's an awkward ride back until they apologize to each other and basically admit that they're both hypocrites.
Yeah, pretty much, which means they're perfect for each other.
And also teenagers.
Yes. Because how can you be yourself when you don't know what that is yet?
They are not done cooking yet. They don't know.
They're cookie dough. There you go. Buffy says.
They're literally in need of molding.
Yes. So Brooks takes Celia to dinner with Murph, but then ditches to be a date from the app. Celia goes on her own date with Franklin, and Murph goes by himself to the escape room. Wah, wah. Celia's date with Franklin ends up going super badly. It turns out Franklin is a pretentious rich white boy who thinks he's tortured and is, come to find out, the street artist that Celia earlier in the film genuinely like put down and said was trash, and she hates him a lot. So now this guy she's on a date with is the subject of her hatred. She starts to realize that she might actually like Brooks a lot more. But they've already agreed to break up in a very public way.
On the night of their agreed breakup, Celia tries to be the girl that Brooks wants, wearing the dress and the heels and, you know, all that. But he barely notices. He does their whole breakup routine, but takes it way too far, going after her real feelings rather than keeping it, you know, light and superficial. Celia is very hurt, and Brooks doesn't seem to realize it. But when Shelby comes over and kisses him, he also doesn't seem to care that Celia got upset. And he's happy as a clam when Shelby asks him to take her to the next dance.
Murph is pissed enough at Brooks's behavior that he switches his sandwich shop schedule so they don't have to work the same shifts. And Celia also won't talk to him because, duh. We'll talk more about what he did later, like for realsies. Anyway, so Brooks is starting to realize that maybe he has been a bad friend. Wow, self-awareness. When he gets a date request to go walking with an old woman, the old woman gives him some real-life lessons about the kind of people he should actually be spending his time with.
Brooks picks up Shelby for the dance, and she is, you know, not thrilled with his car because she is the, you know, spoiled rich kid from Greenwich. I don't know why they don't – I assume she has a car. They could take hers. When they go to dinner, they have nothing to say to each other. And at the dance, they see Celia dancing without a date. And then a girl, like that girl from earlier who practiced dating with Brooks, notices them and comes over to say hello, basically outing Brooks's extracurricular activities to Shelby. Even though, like, he's in some ways, yes, it's hooking for teenagers. But it's not like I don't know how I feel about this. Like, is it wrong? I don't know.
We can talk about it. Yeah.
And Shelby takes this incredibly badly, leaving him on the spot. So Brooks heads to Celia. And while she is open that she likes him, she also tells him that she's not willing to be his second choice. And he is left alone. She is like, nah, fuck you, dude.
Mm-hmm.
And I deserve better.
Hell yeah. Brooks has to do some real soul searching. He makes up with Murph, who is nice enough to easily forgive him for being a dick. He decides that he doesn't want to go to Yale if they won't want him as himself. So he opts for UConn, where his dad, I guess, teaches a night course, whatever.
But also, he's a smart kid in Connecticut. He was always going to get into UConn.
Sure, yeah.
And I say that with all the love. UConn, I don't think, is a bad school at all.
I just hate that it sounds like UConn, like the potato. So I have to really think about the spelling of it when people say it out loud.
Or you know, the territory in Canada.
Yeah, yeah. I have more relationship with the potato. But yes, UConn gold. Anyway, but Brooks also writes Celia a letter asking not only to be forgiven, but also to see if she would be open to dating him as he was his real self with her.
Brooks has stopped accepting dates on the app. He didn't get enough money for Yale, but as he has a full ride to UConn, it doesn't really matter, I guess. And he gets a date request and rejects it, only to have another pop up immediately. After the third version that tells him he's not getting out of it, he realizes it's Celia and she's at his door. And she takes him to the sandwich shop, which has been transformed via lights to a party sandwich shop and their own little dance.
While Murph and his crush, who might be upgraded past crush at this point, start the party, Brooks wants to know what Celia thought of his letter to her. She agrees to date him, but it is very clear that if he fucks up, she reserves the right to dump him. No questions asked.
So, which I would argue is dating.
Right? But they
rather
kiss.
Than dating probationer.
Dating is fun, and it's supposed to be like, yeah, no, we'll see. And if it doesn't work out, we break up.
Right.
So Celia and Brooks kiss, and since one kiss means forever, this is a high school relationship that will survive college and distance and all the things that come in life, possibly, and they'll one day get married, of course, on the perfect date, April 25th, in the, what do the kids call it, headcanon that we are creating right now.
Yes, yes.
Okay. Right. So I'm just going to list some of the things that I want to like just talk about. We want to talk about the ethics of his app.
Okay. Yep.
I really need to talk about the way he uses the fight and what happens after the fight between Brooks and Celia in That Nothing Does. And then there was one other thing that I wanted to discuss that I came up to in my brain and through my notes, but we'll find out if it comes to me. But those two things definitely, I feel like those were big what the fucks for me.
Fair. So before we jump into that, I just have a couple of like really small what the fucks that I feel like I need to just put out there. Yeah. First of all, this movie is not that old. It's what, 5 years old?
Mm-hmm.
It has aged shockingly terribly in terms of certain things. He calls out as people to look up to Steve Jobs and Elon Musk, which, no, don't do that.
He did kind of joke about the Elon Musk thing, but not in the way that we know.
Not enough. Now. No. Yeah. No. So it's like, oh, no. And then going back to the UConn thing, like he doesn't want to go to UConn because he wants to get out of the area or like get out of town. The thing is, UConn, like the main UConn campus, I looked it up because I was like, I am pretty sure it's not in Bridgeport. He tells us he's from Bridgeport. It's not. It's over an hour away.
Oh. Uh-huh.
So I actually think he is physically closer to Yale.
New Haven? Fascinating.
So it's like, no, you, what are you talking about? You're the bullshit.
Right. Like, what, if he really wanted to get out of town, wouldn't he pick another Ivy that was anywhere else?
Right. Like go to Stanford.
Yeah.
Like, what do you, it made no sense.
For sure.
So I've just, problems.
The other thing I wanted to talk to is the letter that he wrote about.
Okay.
It, all right. Is for her, which I thought was, so, okay. Going back to like when you said this was filmed, this is from 2019, but this has every inch 1980s, like John Hughes movie to me. Like this is like just even like the dynamics, the whole, like you said, Shelby probably has a nice car. Why do they have to use his hunk of junk? Like, because that's what they would have done in 16 Candles. Like the guy drives, right. You know?
Yeah.
It's that whole sort of thing.
Right. So, like, but the thing is, they don't always do that. Celia drove them to Yale in her Prius.
True. I think she made a comment about that, right? Like she wasn't convinced that his car could make the drive or something like that. I don't remember.
Though he's driving from Bridgeport to Connecticut to Greenwich, which is probably a similar drive.
I suppose that's true. But other than the fact that like they are like chill about homosexuality and there's an app involved. Like the, otherwise it just, it feels like this is a very old movie. Like the bones are 80s rom-com to me.
Yes.
Not that that's a bad thing, but it feels that way.
Yes.
Yeah.
One more thing before we, I feel like we're going to spend years on some of these other things.
Yeah.
The one other thing because it's me and of course I was fixated on these kinds of things. How much do you think he's charging?
Well, it would have to be something that was enough, but affordable. Like, I wonder if he has a sliding scale, depending on the, the event and how much he's spending on the costumes.
Because he's spending money on costumes. And yes, he's getting them secondhand, but he's still probably, you know, let's say like 15, 20 bucks a date. And in theory, like, even if he, I guess there's got to be some kind of sliding scale if he like takes them to dinner and they actually are secretly paying, but he, you know, I don't know how that works. But the thing that I wanted to really get into and dig deep on is Murph has made him this app that tracks how much money he's saving. And that thing is moving through this, like how close he is to getting Yale money. And I'm not sure what it's calculating. Like what makes it Yale money? Is it a semester at Yale? Is it 4 years at Yale? Like, is it trying to say he's saved? Like, I was looking at it. I was like, are you trying to get me even a year's worth of Yale? Which is probably in 2019, I don't know, $60,000 a year more?
If that's probably the tuition, but then that's not room, board, books, you know? Like,
right.
I'd say $60,000 is pretty.
So, like,
right there.
According to this, he got more than halfway on that app that we saw. So, like, if he's doing a year, he made, you know, $30,000 doing this. The span of my understanding, a month?
So I'm quitting my job.
Right. I'm like, well, right. This is where it gets, I guess it leads right into the ethics of it, because I'm like, well, you know, I don't know how I feel about ethically. Like, it's a little weird, but it, like, everybody, it, like, you kind of know. He's not really doing anything seedy.
What I liked about the idea of it is the opportunity for someone to sort of be what is needed at the time. Like, I love the way that it was like, can you be the person that helps me beat my like tennis guy. I need someone to practice being on a date with. I think that's fascinating to think about.
Like some of them I was like, there's like I buy this. This is like, you know, like this is a reason to use this in a way that I liked. Like I liked the like practice date. I liked the tennis partner. I liked the like, will you be my shitty, shitty boyfriend who's terrible so that my parents actually like my real boyfriend? Yeah. Like that's kind of funny. I appreciate that. The one I was like confused by was like, why would you want to pay somebody to go with you to an art show and talk to you about art if they don't know anything about art? Like, why is that fun?
Agreed. I mean, I unless it was just like my boyfriend is the artist and I need to show up with a date to make him jealous. I don't know. Like,
yeah, but in that case, like if it was like a jealousy thing, I would say it like you wouldn't need to. You could just come as yourself. Sure. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Like you don't need to, you know, dress up in a black turtleneck and ask, like, you know, talk about like I don't know, the brush strokes or whatever.
But how fun though. Like I think to my little actor brain was like, how fun to get a costume and be like, do like real life theater.
I mean, that's basically what he's doing.
It's so fun.
Right. And like, I don't know. Like I get it's, you know, like I don't really have a problem with it. And if he's making that kind of money, I'm like, do you? Like, I really can't say anything.
Sure.
You know, like in some ways, I'm like, he should probably have told Shelby that's something that he was doing.
Especially if there's no shame about it.
Right. You
know?
Like,
it's a spirit of entrepreneurship. But she was stuck up about things, you know?
Right. But also, like, I don't know. Like, I feel like everybody was, like, aware of it and on board except for Shelby in a way that, I don't know. It felt like he was lying specifically to Shelby in a way that he wasn't lying to anyone else. Like, even the ones where he's, like, pretending to fool the parents or something. It's like, okay, but, like, it's for a good cause and I don't really mind. But, like, he's, like, actively trying to fool Shelby, but I don't really know why. I don't know. I just, like, it got weirdly icky, but only...
out of insecurity, because, like, he had already spun the web I think it was, wasn't it Celia who said he's from Darien or the richer neighborhood?
Yeah, which was weird. Like, why? I mean, I guess because Shelby is a stuck-up bitch, but...
she want to make her jealous. Teenagers.
Yeah, I mean, there was definitely some things in here where I was like, I guess I just don't have access to this kind of mental thinking anymore.
But we did at one point, and this was all acceptable. Like, you know, I just recently reread, and I knew this already, but I reread that test audiences... didn't like the ending of 16 Candles where she ends up with Ducky and they refilmed it so she ends up with Andrew McCarthy. That is not the Pretty era in which we live. Pretty in Pink. Yeah. Thank you. Pretty like, in no, Pink.
Yeah.
Because we all are like, no, Ducky.
Yeah. I don't like Pretty in Pink, just period, so I don't care.
Neither do I, but that Ducky is bae. Like, he just is.
100%. All right. Should we jump into this argument that they, or breakup?
Yes. So the thing that got me about this whole thing is, so they stage this breakup, right? And they have this whole big, deep conversation. I think on the ride to Yale or from Yale or whatever, they had this whole big, deep conversation basically about what makes them the most insecure and like, you know, hurts their soul the most. And then he goes and uses those things in this public breakup for everyone to see. And to Laura Morano's credit, like, she acts the fuck out of this moment. She doesn't say anything. She's doing really, really great. But you can see all that. He is oblivious to the fact that he's using things that were told in confidence in this staged thing.
Right.
And the thing that bugs me the most is there is never a conversation about it.
Yeah.
Ever.
Oh, right. Because he in that moment, you watch it and you're like, I know that he has like betrayed her trust in a way that not all high schoolers are going to get over.
Yeah. It was shocking and toxic. And it was betrayal. It was betrayal for sure.
Yeah, right. And it doesn't feel good, and it's not fun to watch. And then for her to storm off and be that hurt, he doesn't follow her and then kisses somebody else. It was just like I know like this whole movie is about his growth and transformation as a person, blah, 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 blah. I don't know that I want to redeem him.
Right. Absolutely. I think, well, because there's never really a redemption.
Yeah.
For him. Because, and for my money, it's because he thought that he was going for the plan. In his guy teenage mind, he didn't think he was doing anything wrong. But no one explained to him later that he was. And right. And the only thing we get from her is, I don't want to be your second choice, meaning I want to be your first choice, meaning I'm not going to explain to you how you're a fucking asshole right now on 12 different levels.
Right. And
yeah.
And for him to win her back or whatever via a really cheesy, like, you know, college application letter writing.
Yeah. So dear listeners, he writes his essay, not to Yale, but to Celia, as like a, here is my college application essay for why I'm applying to the dating ship of Celia. Like, well, and it's cute, but not after, like, you know, like, you do not understand how you hurt me. And that is.
Right. Right. He never apologizes for it ever. At all. And he like barely apologizes for being a bad friend to either of them, mm-hmm. to either Murph or Celia. And both of them are like, he's just a teenage boy. Like a straight white boy. He doesn't know what he's doing. And it's like, teach him then.
Yeah, and maybe that's because we are 30-something-year-old women looking back on our previous life hurts and having probably gone through these exact same, not exact, but, you know, similar betrayals and similar breaches of trust and et cetera, knowing what we know now, going, baby cakes is like, stop.
Right.
No, stand not, up for yourself. Identify. Like
this is not healthy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe the teenagers aren't quite there yet, but then I can't ship them because right. there's no real clarity.
Agreed. Agreed, agreed, agreed. I mean, it's, yeah, it just like, it really sours a lot of this movie for me,
mm-hmm.
which I guess tells you a lot of how we're going to end this, I suppose. But
sure. There was also a moment where like, I feel like Celia said, I'm sorry for something. And she had no reason to feel to be sorry. And I'm trying to find where that was. I had it in my notes. Oh, no, she apologizes for slapping him. She's like, I'm sorry I slapped you or something like that. And I said, no, you don't need to apologize for that.
No. Also, okay. I just kind of want to dive into Celia for a minute.
Yeah.
Because like we meet her. She's got rich parents who don't understand her. She doesn't want to wear the heels. Her mom wants her to wear the heels. She wants to wear like the Chucks, which look super cute with her outfits. I don't know mm-hmm. what the problem was. Sure. Whatever. Okay. And I was like, okay, I understand this character. I understand like this family dynamic. I got it. And then later we get this like conversation between her and her parents where they are nice parents and like good parents. And I was like, wait a second. You have told me these are people who care about their image, not their child. And now you're flipping it. And I don't know what to think because, like, I have been operating under these people suck.
So I think that's really interesting because I'm going to – I do not know her name and I did not look her up. But I think these parents were supremely wonderful actors, because I saw that journey of Celia feeling, I am not understood by my parents. But, and maybe it's because I'm a 30-something woman now who, you know, with maternal instinct, I could see, I had to think, I'm like, why do these parents want her to go to the dance? And I could see the mother's journey of like before of, I want her to go to the dance because she's going to look back and wish she had done more in high school, you know?
I hear that completely. I actually, the mother is less of a problem for me. The father.
Okay.
Because the father being like, she needs to go with a date and I will pay for that date, which is weird. It's sure. A weird thing to like, I mean, yes, teenagers, but it is paying for your daughter's hooker. Is that what, basically, like on a.
Didn't they make that movie with Jennifer Lawrence?
Yeah. But like when he drops her back off after whatever, he like, you know, gives them the money and he's like, keep it. We didn't expect you to last this long. Or like he made it like, oh, she's such a chore to be with. Mm. In such like a, like, ugh, gross. You know, like, parents. I don't like my kid. Where like the mom, I got a little bit more, and she does explain like she has regrets and she doesn't want her daughter to do it. And I get that, though. I will argue that there are some like choices that you have to let your kids make and regrets 100%. You have to let your kids have. And you know, them choosing not to go to the dance can be one of them. It's not going to ruin their entire lives. True. But
she's not my supporting shout out, but shout out to that actress, because I could feel her entire timeline in the line, I just wanted you to have a better high school experience than I had. And I was like, now I know who you are as a person. I could feel her whole backstory, like, well done on your actor work. Fantastic, lady. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, good.
Yeah. So yeah, just like, but then for her dad to be like, we love you just the way you are. It's like, no, you actively told me you didn't.
Sure.
Like, yeah. What are you talking about? Like, I don't understand.
Sure.
So that's just kind of where I landed.
Love it.
Should we jump into Hallmark Hallmarks?
I think we should. Okay. We could talk about more stuff, but let's get on with it.
Sounds good. I didn't have that many, to be honest. We sort of have fake dating.
We do. I have that as well. I also have high achieving academic person doesn't know how to be a real person.
Yes, yes. We have a forced slow dance.
We have a best friend who is their I'm going to call it their oracle, the person at the computer console doing their backup. Your best friend is your basic assistant.
Yes. Yes. That is his point. We have trying to make a third party jealous.
Mm-hmm. I think you're going to like this one. He is a Hallmark woman because he has more time in the day than the rest of us.
He absolutely does. Yes. He has abandonment issues.
His new life is causing distance with his homie.
I wouldn't say mom is dead because she's not dead, but mom is gone and life is hard.
I said mom left and life is hard. And finding out about it gives her a whole different perspective of him. Wow.
And my last one I had was stupid misunderstandings.
Aha. I have two or three more.
Okay, go for it.
The guy that she wants is actually the opposite of what she wants. We get some boomer wisdom
which
from the parents and everybody. Oh, and from the old – not from the parents, from the old lady who was amazing. And we have a letter stating their true feelings at the end.
Mm-hmm. So True.
Yeah.
Pretty Parade?
So I have a couple pretties. When we first see her, but at Shelby's house party where they eat the ice cream, I loved her skirt. It was a long kind of pleated skirt with some bold bold color, like block colors, which is a look I really like. And I thought that Celia's black top with the gold sparkly skirt that she gets quote unquote broken up in was fucking great. Like, I wish I could pull that off.
Mine is in relation to that outfit too, specifically the heels with the black bows on them at her ankles that she's wearing. I was like, oh, those are sexy. I like those.
Yeah, everything about her look was perfect.
Yeah, it was a good look.
Across the universe?
I was just thinking that Noah Centineo is in another letter writing movie on Netflix.
Oh,
because he's in all the Boys.
That's true. I had one that's sort of a thematic thing, which might have been a new and noteworthy in the movie we talked about. I can't remember. I didn't re-listen to the episode, but he goes as one of his dates. You mentioned it before. He goes to be the bad boyfriend, so they actually like the good her actual boyfriend better, which is sort mm-hmm. of behind, which is basically surprised by love because they didn't. He wanted Paul Campbell to be the buffoon so he would appear better in right. their eyes. So,
right.
I thought that was cute.
True. Did you have any new and noteworthy here?
Just one.
Okay.
I thought it was new because that outfit that we talked about that was pitch perfect, she did the whole walking out of the house entrance or exit rather, where every other movie we would get the what look, you know, the walking down the thing. I just saw a TikTok mm-hmm. about all those movie moments and he's on his phone. He misses yeah. it. He misses the whole thing. And I thought that was really fascinating, interesting switch.
Sure. Sure. Supporting shout out.
I said the tennis lady because her one line is stuck at Bill and Claire and I felt it. So shout out to the tennis woman.
Nice. I feel like I need to give Murph some love because aww, yeah. Murph is adorable. He's both adorable just as a person. But he like, I really loved that not only is he gay and it like doesn't create a weirdness at all. But I do really love his little crush with he just knows the crush's order and he doesn't know his name and it gets far enough that they like clearly start dating and he still doesn't know his name and it's weird and awkward and he's like, I know it's weird and awkward and I don't know what to do and I'm teenage boying.
I agree. I do wish that Brooks had done the thing of like, hey, man, I'm Brooks. What's your name?
Yeah.
To help yeah. help a boy out.
But yeah. Yeah. Or at the very least, introduce Celia.
Yeah, 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 yeah. I did that with Billy once because there's somebody at the place I do trivia where like I didn't know their name. It was way too late now to ask. And I was like, Billy, introduce yourself to them so I can like get the name. And then he's like, oh, I didn't see them, but I asked the bartender what their name was. And I was like, you blew my cover. That wasn't the game.
You have failed in your mission. Kiss meter?
I gave it a 6. I at that point, I liked them enough as a couple, but still seemed like I wasn't super on board. But and the kiss itself seemed really flat, and it, like she wasn't into it at all. Like that's what it felt like to me.
I gave it a 5, and I said uh-huh. it was a perfectly uninterestingly high school movie kiss.
Perfectly uninteresting.
It wasn't gross, but it was just like, meh. They are kissing in a high school movie.
Yeah. All right, Hannah. Would you watch this movie and recommend others do as well?
No. No. it's only 5 years old, but it sort of has this feeling like it is aging badly.
Sure.
I feel like the longer he... The further from April 12th, 2019 we get, the more it's going to be a cringe.
Yeah. Yeah, I d- definitely, I'm going to say, do it. Fine. Watch it. I thought there was enough cute parts in it. Especially, you know, I didn't say shout out, but I really like his dad.
I like Matt Walsh.
Matt Walsh is great. It's a blink and you miss it moment, but he gives the money he earns to his dad at the end. Which I thought, you know, was slick because they don't point it out. It's for people who just are just watching slightly more closely, whatever. So yeah. there were aspects of it. If you want kind of an updated 1980s valued movie, then this is the one for you. But basically it felt that way. But, and you know, whatever. It's I'd watch She's All That again before this one. But I thought it was a nice attempt in a teen rom-com.
Okay. Yeah. It didn't hit for me, but sure.
And I also hate it when you know what the movie should have been called and it wasn't called that. Because how many times did they talk about he's a stand-in? The app is called The Stand-In.
I think that's what the book is called. Because this is based on a book.
Well, then it should have been called The Stand-In, The Perfect Date. Yeah. Or The Perfect Date is a Stand-In or something. You know what
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah, it's weird that there must be another movie or something that
– because
I don't know.
If there is – there might be another movie. But if you're going to go so far as to know you can't name this movie something, maybe they didn't know it was till it was too late. But then you should have changed the app name to The Perfect Date. It would have fit.
Right.
You know?
Right. Right. Yes. But also, like, okay, you can't name it The Stand-In. Why can't you name it The Stand-In Date?
Yeah.
I don't know. Whatever. It's
The Perfect Stand-In.
Right. There's something where you can just finagle it enough. I don't know.
Not sitting. Stand-In. Sad. I needed that.
Okay. I'm so glad you did. Well, thanks, everybody. Thank you for coming on this journey with us. Make sure you're following us on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, all that stuff. One Kiss Means Forever, where the one and the four are numerals. We're live tweeting when we can. We'll also drop random things there periodically.
And if you feel like emailing us for any reason at all, whatever, you can email us at onekissmeansforever@gmail.com. That's all spelled out as you see it on our logo.
And thank you, as always, to Flint Pastures for our intro-outro music. His stuff's on Apple Music, Spotify, and SoundCloud. And because it is the perfect date today, April 25th, happy birthday to him as well, which was yesterday.
Yay! Amazing. Make sure you're wearing a light jacket.
Yep.
Yeah. Hannah, always a pleasure.
Yes. And we'll talk to you soon.
Bye.
Bye.
Science and magic.
Yeah.